the blood. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. Praise God. Today of the many people who was at the funeral, and many of them not saved. Many had religion, many belong to lodges and different things, but don't belong to Christ. And it's great to belong to the Lord, isn't it? Paul says, and the Word of God says, Paul said he was a prisoner to Christ, and the Word of God says that he's bought us with a precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let us turn tonight to 1 Thessalonians, and I won't keep you too long tonight. Just want to bring this as a wee word of encouragement, and maybe the brethren that wouldn't be here tonight, maybe later could get this, just for a word to encourage them. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. And maybe somebody can open one of these windows at the front. And I don't want nobody falling asleep in the night. It's good to have a flow of air, isn't it? Maybe we can get in there. The door's locked at the front. But nevertheless, God bless, brother. God bless. Praise God. While a brother opens the windows, let us read from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Let us just bow for a word of prayer again this evening, praise God. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord as well. Praise God, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you this evening in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this great privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we come this evening pleading the merits of the blood over this house and all that's in this house tonight, over the Anderson family. Yes, Lord, and all that's near and dear to them tonight, we plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we pray as our brothers prayed for strength in the days to come, and the great comfort that only you can give, the great Holy Spirit. Father, for the needs tonight, you see the hands raised. Lord, you promised you'll meet every need. And Father, we say that you will, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, grant the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring thy word tonight. And Lord, I take by faith the promised Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. You may be seated. I just want to take some thoughts from this portion tonight. But I had this little hymn in the back of my Bible. And this hymn, there's a man who told me about this when I was only a young fella. And the man, I believe, that wrote this lost a very young daughter. And God inspired him to write this wonderful hymn. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet. Death is an angel sent down from above. Sent for the buds and flowers we love. Truly 'tis so, for in heaven's own way. Each soul is a flower in the master's bouquet. Loved ones are passing each day and each hour. Passing away as the life of a flower. But every bud and each blossom so day will bloom as a flower in the master's bouquet. Let us be faithful till life's work is done, blooming with love till the reapers shall come. Then we will be gathered together for ye, transplanted to bloom in the master's bouquet. I think that's a wonderful hymn. Transplanted to bloom in the master's bouquet. I want to say tonight, and this would be really for those of us that's maybe grieving tonight, and I want to show you that there's nothing wrong with that. Paul talks about that. In times when we feel heartache, pain and loss, the scriptures offer to us comfort, encouragement and victory. And it seems here in writing the Thessalonians believers, Paul knew of some church members who recently lost a loved one. To those who are hurting and grieving, he offers reason for hope. And that's in the verses we've read tonight. We as believers should act differently from those who are not believers. We should act different. Because you see, those that's not saved have no hope. But we're a people tonight with hope. And there's two things we should keep in mind about this when we read this writing of Paul. And the first one's this. The mourning we have for a loved one's natural. It's natural to mourn. There's nothing wrong with mourning. That's natural. It's natural to mourn. Paul is not saying that we should not mourn the life of a loved one that has passed on. Psalms 116 verse 15 says this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I want you to see this word here, precious. Referred often to in the Word of God. You can look at this word, precious, like precious stones, like precious possessions. It can also be translated as costly and expensive.
The Lord does His work on earth through His people. So it doesn't make sense that they're costly to the Lord. We're counted as costly to the Lord. You say, my brother, I don't believe that. There's no scripture for it. All right. Malachi says, when I shall make up my jewels on that day. The Bible refers to God's people as jewels. They're precious in the sight of the Lord. And when a loved one goes, a sovereign that's precious in the sight of the Lord. And he knows I'm lost because he experiences it all with us. The Lord does. You know, when the Bible says, when Jesus spoke to Peter, the Lord said, Peter, I have prayed for you. Ever before Peter fell, ever before Peter went through what he went through, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, I have prayed for you. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our high priest. That's touched by the feeling of our infirmities and he knows our end from the beginning. The Lord knows all about us. And even before we pray, the Lord knows. Praise God. So the Lord's with us. And you remember the story of Lazarus, the brother quoted the night when he prayed. And Jesus knew, in John 14 verse 4, Jesus knew he would raise Lazarus from the dead. Because when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Amen. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But when the Lord saw the faces, and Gary even mentioned it already tonight, when he saw their faces, and when he saw the people, and the Bible even says, look how the Lord loved them, because the Lord wept. Jesus wept. So I want you to see this. Normal to weep, it's normal to mourn. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. In John 11:35 is where Jesus wept. And we know that departed believers will be resurrected. But being apart from them can cause natural pain and grief. We know that. Now here's the second thought in this. Our rejoicing here is supernatural. So our mourning is not natural. It's natural that we mourn, but our rejoicing is supernatural. I want you to see that tonight. Paul explains that we are to react differently than those who have no hope. Amen. The world has no hope tonight. Many of them say when they've been to the ground, that's the end of it. They've no hope. They don't believe. But our hope tonight is the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's the hope of the believer. Right. The hope of every right thinking man is the coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Paul reminds us of that. Though we mourn and grieve, the Lord is with us through it all as believers. We have comfort and hope in the future. We know that our departed loved ones who were fellow believers are now with the Lord. So they're not in limbo land or nowhere. They're with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So when a man that's saved or a woman that's saved goes on, it's a supernatural rejoicing we should have. Not like the world, there's no hope, but we have hope because we know they're absent from the body and they're present with the Lord. And I've already shown you they're precious in the eyes of the Lord. The scriptures even call them blessed in the eyes of the Lord. Revelation 14:13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works that do follow them. So they're blessed. They that die in the Lord are blessed. Because they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's not a supernatural rejoicing there. Surely it is. What I want you to see here is an important reality. A very important reality here. And if we read your scriptures again from verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not the word of some church or organization. This is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Paul reminds us that if we believe in the gospel, that's what Paul is saying here. If we believe in the gospel, we also believe in the second coming of Christ. He's a Savior, he's a healer, he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and he's a coming King. The four square gospel's true. Savior, healer, baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and a coming King. And we have a hope tonight because of our coming King. He's coming again. There's one thing the devil can't stop. There's one thing no man can stop. It's the coming of the Lord. Just like his first coming was supernatural, his second coming will be supernatural. The Lord's coming again. I want you to get that tonight. There's no topic that's more comforting to us than the topic of the resurrection. How many believe that? The topic of the resurrection shall be preached. The gospel is not just salvation. The gospel is salvation. The gospel is healing. The gospel has been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the gospel is the second coming of the Lord. All that's named under the gospel. Amen. Paul preaches that.
Amen.
And he calls it the gospel. Now we know the gospel is good news. You see, he says, "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord." It is true hope that only we as believers have. The unbeliever doesn't have this hope. The sea he describes causes us to pause in our grief, and it causes us to anticipate the future. I want you to pause for a moment in this day. Pause for a moment and anticipate the future. The future for me and you is not just the grave. The future for me and you is heaven and home. The future for Brother Keith, heaven. Well, the dead die no more. But there's no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. Well, they'll never be departed from the Lord again. That's the future. I want you to see the privilege of the dead in Christ. Verse 14 and 15, it tells us of the privilege of the dead in Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Amen.
This is a privilege.
Amen.
The Lord's bringing them with him. The body is only a suitcase for the soul. The body goes to the grave, but the soul, the real person, goes to be with the Lord. And they'll come with the Lord. The Lord will bring them with them. That's the word of God, you know. And I tell you, not only will God bring them with them, but that body that's in the grave will be resurrected and glorified.
Amen.
Resurrected and glorified. Corinthians tells us this corruptible shall put on incorruption.
Amen.
This mortal shall put on immortality.
Amen.
We're going to be changed. We're going to have a body change. You'll not be going to heaven. You know, we people think when you go to heaven, all these different ideas. You'll be transformed. Transformed. You'll not be 50 years of age or 60 or 70 in heaven. No such thing. You know that. You'll be made young. No pensioners in heaven. I want you to know that tonight. Now there's the Ancient of Days. First to last, the living one. How many knows that?
Amen.
But we're going to be changed to young. The word of God tells us that. I'll tell you, if you could see your brother, I guarantee you he's young. A young man. In the presence of the Lord. When Christ returns, he'll bring the saints that went on before with him. While we grieve their loss, surely they rejoice and anticipate the day when they will be the first to see the resurrected Christ return with the true bride. They're going to be the first ones. We're not first. The dead will rise first. That's the Bible. Then we which are alive. shall be caught up. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're ready with the Lord. They'll rise first.
I want you to see this. I want you to see this triumphant return of Christ in verse 16. Verse 16, for the Lord himself. The Lord's not going to send somebody else to do his job. You don't read that. You read in your Bible the Lord himself. The Lord himself. And he won't be out in the desert on somewhere here, there, or yonder. But the Bible says we'll meet him in the air.
Amen. Great.
Meet him in the air. The Bible warns us if they say he's out in the desert, don't go out.
Great.
And what have we heard over the years of people saying the Lord's going to meet us in such a mountain or in such a place in up there?
Great.
He meets the believers in the air.
Amen.
This is a triumphant return of Christ. He's not coming to go on a cross. He's not coming to go in a manger. He's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And I'm going to go further tonight. He's coming as a thief in the night. The world won't know when he's come. A lot of places that say their churches won't know when the Lord's come. But the real true Holy Ghost filled believers will know. Because they'll be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. So shall they ever be with the Lord. Caught up in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the earth. That's the Bible. I tell you, there'll be some time. Two will be grinding in the mill. One will be left. Two in the bed. One will be left. That's when the Lord comes. I tell you, it's going to be something, isn't it? You think that two people, maybe one of them saved and filled with the Spirit and the other one's not, and they could wake up one morning and their partner's gone. That's the reality when the Lord comes. Jesus Christ is coming again. That's the hope for the believer. That's the triumphant turn of Christ. Praise God for it. We're told that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Christ comes a second time, I'll tell you, they'll not put him on a cross again. The world won't know about it. Do you realize that? Luke 12 and verse 40 says, be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. The Lord is coming in an hour that you think not. People say we know the very time when the Lord's coming, they don't. Because the Bible tells us he's coming as a thief in the night. Say that the good man of the house had known what time the thief would come. He would have sat up and caught him. But he came in an hour that he wasn't thinking. We can see the signs of the times we're in. We can see the day we're in. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they were given wives. Until the Lord, flood came and swept them away. Until the fire came on Sodom and Gomorrah. And destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Five cities in all, Tyre and Sidon, and all them cities. Brother Andrew was saying the other week that he found the actual ice. He can find the actual ice of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The real ice. That's how real it is. Still today. Burned. But the Lord's coming. I tell you, this is the triumphant return of the Lord. Scriptures are clear. Come as a thief in the night. I tell you, there'll not be a star announcement to the shepherd in the field. No. Now, having said that, we know there's been a star has announced we're in the last church age. There has been a star announced. We're living in the last days. There's been an end time messenger to this last Laodicean age. There's told us we're in the last days. And God has sown a super sign.
The Son of Man ministry. We know that's the truth. Now there's churches there tonight won't believe any of this, but that won't change what happened. It took place. But the Lord's coming. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I want you to see this triumphant reunion. Not only is it going to be a triumphant return, but there'll be a triumphant reunion. There's going to be a reunion. You're going to be reunited with your loved ones. A triumphant reunion. This won't be like a school reunion or some other reunion. This will be a supernatural reunion.
Amen.
This will be a reunion we will never part again.
Great.
No other reunion will be like this reunion.
Amen.
The trumpet verse 17. Reunion. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we know we went to the book of Acts, the clouds is the angels. For the book of Acts says that Jesus was caught up in the clouds. And the men said, why stand he gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you've seen go shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He's coming in the clouds. Not the Bible. I tell you, the Lord's coming again.
Great.
There's going to be a reunion. I tell you, you young men should rejoice. You that have a loved one that's gone on. They're waiting for you.
Great.
They're rejoicing. There's going to be a reunion. This is why it's so important to be saved and filled with the Spirit. So that you're not missing it. Don't want to miss this reunion. This is one of these reunions you don't want to miss. The dead in Christ. The body are resurrected to be with Christ in his glory. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 17, we will be united with our fellow believers who's gone on before us. And all together we will be united with Christ in all his glory for the rest of eternity. This is my last scripture. I told you I wouldn't belong tonight. Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord's coming again. I tell you, it's not something. I tell you, we take it lightly many times as believers. We're ready.
Those of us that are ready for the coming of the Lord. But I want you to pause for a moment. As I come to close tonight.
I want you to pause for a moment. I want you to think of the man or woman that you and me know that's not ready. Then I want you to think that we need to pray for them. And we need to ask God that the great Holy Spirit would open their understanding to the saving knowledge of the truth. Do you believe that tonight? Let us stand our feet and we're going to pray and our brother's going to come. Well, every head's bowed, every eye's closed in this service. Maybe there's somebody in this room and you're young or you're not right with God. And you want to get right with the Lord. Or maybe somebody would ever get a hold of one of the sermons. The Bible says it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you want to call on the Lord, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything, and I feel led to do this tonight. I want you to pray for you are. I want you to acknowledge that you're a sinner and you're lost. And then I want you to turn to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you by faith alone to accept Christ alone. By grace alone, you're saved. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the words of encouragement from your book tonight. Lord, we know your words are spirit and they're life. Father, I pray you'll strengthen and bless your people from your word this evening. Give deciding grace to that young man, to that young woman, to the older man, to the older woman. Lord, we do sincerely pray for all that's near and dear to us, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, aunts and uncles, cousins and relatives and friends. Father, we would ask this evening that the Holy Spirit would move upon them and speak to their hearts and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray you'll open their understanding to see their need of Christ as a Savior. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, Lord, bless your own people and do them good. Bless our goings out and bless our comings in. We pray again for the whole Anderson family and all the family relatives tonight, that you'll bless and comfort and strengthen them today and in the days ahead. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother comes.
God answers prayer. He's so good to me.